Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have promised to reward those who diligently seek you, that those who humble themselves and seek your grace, the grace that is in Jesus Christ, that you will reveal yourself to them and that you will save. And so we ask, please, Lord, as we seek you in the scriptures, that you would presence yourself here amongst us and speak to us all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In this current series of sermons on Sunday morning, I hope that you're hearing one simple message. Jesus is the answer. Whoever you are, and whatever you need, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the abundant fullness of love and grace in him, really is the answer. And as you go through life, what you will need continually is a deeper knowledge and experience of him. And what you will need to do just every day, what it's all about, is to depend on him more and more. He is the Son of God, the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the gracious, compassionate Savior of the world. He is the one able to save you to the uttermost, the Bible says. He's the one who died for you and rose again. And in these sermons, I want you to know that Jesus stands before you with his hands, as it were, stretched out, offering himself to you in all that he is and saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, all who labor and heavily laden, I will give you rest. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Look to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. For the busy, the answer is to learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. For the burdened, the answer is to submit to the yoke of Jesus. For the bereaved, the answer is to trust Jesus, even when you cannot see him. And as we saw last week, for the burned out, the answer is to place yourself under his perfect pastoral care. Well, this morning I want to try to tell you that Jesus is the answer for the brokenhearted. He is the answer for a broken heart. And the answer is the renewing power of his Holy Spirit. The renewing power of his Holy Spirit. If your heart is broken, you need the renewing power of his Holy Spirit. If you turn back with me in your Bible to that passage in Isaiah chapter 61. This is what the prophet Isaiah was given to say about the Lord Jesus. And even more than that, these are the words of the Lord Jesus through Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's why Jesus came, to heal broken hearts. But what does the Bible mean by having a broken heart? We need to be careful that we don't misunderstand and read back into the Bible our 21st century ideas of a broken heart. Because I don't know about you, but if I hear that phrase, a broken heart, I instinctively think of, you know, romantic love that's gone wrong or a relationship that's ended. Kind of soppy pop songs might come into my head. But when the Bible speaks about a broken heart, it really means something much different. Much deeper, much more serious. The heart is how the Bible speaks about the very centre of who you are. It's the inner you that's made up of your feelings and your will, your conscience. Your heart is like the container for your inner thoughts, that inner life that makes you you. And so to have a broken heart means that you've been so badly hurt, that you're so broken within, you don't even know who you are anymore. Perhaps it means you've lost all sense of your worth. You don't know how to continue. And it's like the you on the inside is not working properly. You're not feeling the right way. You're not loving or thinking as you know you're meant to be able to. And I think above all, a broken heart means you've been so hurt that you've lost hope. You've lost hope. And so there's a kind of emptiness inside, an unbelief that anything can get better. And to help us understand, we've got to try and put ourselves into the shoes of the people Isaiah was preaching to when he first was given this prophecy. He was sent in the 7th century BC to God's people. Because about 100 years later, God's people would go through one of the darkest times in their history. They were conquered by Babylon, sent into exile, and they were just practically wiped out. And so there's this tiny remnant going to be left, made to serve as slaves to their conquerors. And humanly speaking, they're dead as a people. Imagine that you saw your home burned down, your family murdered by soldiers, and then you're forced to serve those conquerors in their land far away, and there is no hope of escaping. That's it. As far as you can see, no one's going to be able to overthrow this evil empire. How brokenhearted would you be? Well, that's the people Isaiah was prophesying to. God spoke to Isaiah ahead of time to be able to help the people when they went through this disaster. And behind this national calamity, there's a huge spiritual crisis. Because they were the chosen people of God. Their relationship with God defined them. But now that relationship and that covenant seems broken forever. And God himself, it has turned against them and has sent them into exile because of their sins. And they turned away from God, and this was a horrible consequence. God himself seems to be against them. How could there be any hope? Broken by sin, broken by sorrow and suffering, people who don't even know who they are anymore, people with no hope. Psalm 137 captures some of this despair. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. We hung up our harps upon the willows. He's saying, how can we ever sing again? How can we ever hope to be happy again? How can there ever be good times again? Now that's how you feel when your heart is broken. You feel like hanging up your harp. How can I ever sing again? How can I ever be happy again? I think this is a part of the Bible that speaks particularly to teenagers and to young people today and to millennials. See, that generation growing up in exile, they were suffering this total disaster of the generation before them. Well, that's what young people growing up today are growing up. They're growing up and the previous generations in this country have turned their backs on God. And it has led to our spiritual, emotional, moral disaster. And our country is in a terrible mess. And young people growing up today, you're growing up in the wreckage of this. The idea of family has been broken. The idea of good neighborliness, that's gone. You're exposed to all kinds of things through the media that you shouldn't have to be, that's taken your innocence from you. And you're growing up in a world that's so full of selfishness and sinfulness, and there's just a complete wreckage. And that's why so many young people feel so lost. Their hearts are broken. That's why life really is so difficult for them. Because they're growing up in the midst of the spiritual disaster that we're going through. Maybe some of this describes how you feel this morning. That your heart's feeling broken. You feel like hanging up your harp. But in the midst of all this terrible darkness, God shows Isaiah a great light. The hope for them, the hope for us. A powerful message of hope that the Lord is going to save his people. And God sends Isaiah to point them and us to a coming Savior. One great enough to save them from all this sin and all its effects. And he calls it the servant of the Lord. And he's revealed in a series of songs as this great Savior sent from God who's going to save the world. Isaiah saw Jesus Christ. That's who he's speaking about in this chapter. Jesus himself confirmed it. Luke 4 tells us that when Jesus began preaching, he read this very passage from Isaiah. And he declared, "This is fulfilled today in your hearing. I'm here. I'm here. The promised servant of God to save the world." And so we're being told here to look to Jesus as the Savior that we need with our broken hearts. And in particular, this is the key emphasis I want you to get hold of. Jesus is the answer because of the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. It says at the very beginning of this particular prophecy, and it's put there as the most important thing, that the Lord Jesus is empowered to save by the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." The Lord Jesus can heal your broken heart because he is anointed with the Spirit of God. What we need as Christians today more than ever is the Holy Spirit. To know the Holy Spirit. To understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the key truth. Let me try to put it in this phrase. The Spirit is the renewing power of God through Jesus. The Spirit is the renewing power of God through Jesus. There's so many comforts for us in this. The Spirit is the renewing power of God through Jesus. If you look at that verse, you see here God revealing himself as the Holy Trinity. The one God who is eternal and three persons in perfect love. Beyond our understanding because he is God. But here in this verse you hear God the Father revealed giving God the Spirit to God the Son. Three persons who are one in their essence, their being. And three persons working in this perfect unity to save us. We praise the Holy Spirit because he is God. We give him equal glory with the Father and the Son. How often he's forgotten and we do not praise him and adore him as we should. And even though it's so hard for us to grasp because he's given this name of Spirit, which to us sounds vague and undefined somehow and immaterial. He is a person. He's as much a person as the Father and the Son. He loves you. And he is at work through Jesus to save you. The Spirit is the renewing power of God. The power through Jesus. Perhaps again, when you think of the Spirit, you instinctively think of his gentleness. Because so often it might seem like he works softly, like a breath and invisibly and appears as a dove. But the real emphasis in the scriptures as a whole is that he is the power of God. He's there at creation, giving life and breath to every creature. Psalm 104, you heard that he sustains all of life every day. The Spirit renews the life of all creatures every day. The Spirit was the mighty pillar of fire at the Exodus. He was the breath that parted the Red Sea. He is the almighty, powerful Spirit. And the Spirit is the renewing power of God through Jesus. The renewing. If you let your eye run through this chapter of Isaiah 61, as it describes what the Spirit will do through Jesus, I think that word renewal sums it up. He'll heal broken hearts and set captives free. He'll comfort those who mourn. And it's collective, this, you see. It's talking about him restoring the people of God, the church, and empowering them to rebuild and fulfill their God-given mission to go out and renew the earth. They'll rebuild where there's ruins. And he uses all these many different wonderful pictures of renewing joy, of funeral clothes that you mourn in. You're all black, and it's going to be replaced by festival party robes. Of those who are hungry, being given a feast. Of a wilderness being renewed to become a beautiful walled and fruitful garden, Eden. And all these many different pictures of how the Spirit makes everything new. And how he's going to change your heart is he'll give you a new one. Look again at this verse. The Spirit is the renewing power of God through Jesus. Through Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus who receives this power, is endowed with it. And so the Spirit is uniquely at work through Jesus alone. He is united to the Spirit. He's the channel for the Spirit's work. Have you ever thought about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus this way? That what you hear in the scripture of his miracles and his teaching and his glory, it was the work of the Spirit upon him and through him. Sometimes we just see the Lord Jesus, and rightly we give him glory as the Son of God. But in the Gospels, it's because he's been given this power of the Spirit he does these things. In Luke chapter 1, when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God." So even his miraculous incarnation and the preparing of this special body, it was the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, when he begins his public ministry, what happens? He was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him. Even when he dies upon the cross, it was the ministry of the Spirit through him. Hebrews 9 says that Jesus offered himself to God without sin through the eternal Spirit. And of course we know how the scriptures tell us it was the Spirit that raised him from the dead bodily. 1 Corinthians 15 or Romans 1. Let's put two examples. He gave Christ this new, renewed body. Perhaps that might transform how you're reading your Bible and the Gospels when you realize it's the Spirit's work through Jesus. God the Son became a weak and mortal man, so that he could become the perfect spiritual man on our behalf. A man so filled with the Spirit, with a renewed human life, he could then share with us. So this is what this verse is telling us. How is Jesus the answer? Not only because of who he is, but because he is clothed with the almighty power of God the Spirit. That's the good news that Isaiah wants to tell us. That's the good news for a broken heart. The Father has sent the Spirit through the Son to you. This verse is the promise of the gospel. Jesus promises that this renewing power of the Spirit can work in your life and my life. This wonderful description we read in this chapter, that power of the Spirit can be given to you. Because Jesus has died and is risen. That's the great significance of Pentecost, which we're almost at in the traditional church calendar. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us to give us this new life. This is the wonderful difference you can know. For Isaiah, it was future, but for you, it's here. He is here. And a Christian, a true Christian, is someone joined to the Lord Jesus. And so his anointing in the Spirit belongs to you as well. Psalm 133 gives us a picture of this. It speaks about the anointing that was on the high priest Aaron of oil, and that it flows down all the way down to his garments. Well, the real fulfillment of that is the anointing of the Spirit upon the Lord Jesus as our high priest. And it so overflows to such an abundance that as you and I hide under his coattails, that anointing of the Spirit comes on us. How can you live the Christian life with all its difficulties and trials? How can you really know God? Because this wonderful presence of the Spirit of God is here. And he can give you a new heart. So what does this renewing, healing work look like in your day-to-day life? Well, again, if we look across the scriptures as a whole, there's three big things that the Bible emphasizes about how the Spirit wants to work in you. Let me use three simple pictures. The first is, think of a spotlight. If you've been to the theater, perhaps there's a dramatic moment in the show when everything else goes dark and just the main character is on the stage with a single spotlight shining on them so that everyone's attention is drawn to look at them and listen to them alone. Well, that is what the Holy Spirit does. He turns a spotlight onto the Lord Jesus. And he will work in your mind to teach you about him. And he will illuminate Jesus to us, who he is and what he's done. But I don't mean this just like in the sense of just telling us. Like perhaps when you were little, you sat in school and your mind was just wandering because your concentration wasn't there. This is a powerful illumining. This is a light that penetrates your heart and you're gripped by it and you feel it and you're convicted of it. He brings in your heart, your conscience, this conviction. And then you grow with a certainty. You know that it's true. You know that it's true. As Jesus promised the disciples before he sent the Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. He will take of what is mine and make it known to you. This is what you could call his teaching ministry. But the Holy Spirit will do this not through vague or weird spiritual feelings. He works in and through the truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's inspired the scriptures and he will use them as his primary instrument to teach you. He will work through these means that God has given. And all the way through, as you read the scriptures, he will reveal Jesus to you. He will show you how Jesus has atoned for sin on the cross. And that through him, we can be forgiven. He'll focus your mind on Jesus, on his finished work, what he's accomplished, and how he's been raised from the dead. He'll give you a peace about it. He'll fill you with the knowledge of God's love for you. And he'll take that spotlight that you're always focusing on yourself and he'll focus it on Jesus. There's a wonderful example of this in Romans 5, that other passage you heard. We're given there this wonderful promise of God's love poured into our hearts by the Spirit, it says in verse 5. But then did you notice, in the next few verses, it immediately then starts speaking about Christ. Who he is and what he's done. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. God's showing us his great love for us. Because that's how the Spirit will pour God's love into your heart. He's going to tell you what Jesus has done for you. So he'll shine a spotlight on Jesus and teach you in a powerful way. Second major part of this renewing work is, if it helps, picture a rubber stamp. You know that recently we had to all go down as a family to the American embassy to get Wesley's American passport. Costs a lot of money. You go through all the security. There's lots of paperwork. Also at the end, you get that rubber stamp saying, yes, you have a right to enter this country. Well, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit does something like that in believers. He's sometimes called a seal, as in Ephesians 1. It means that he stamps, he marks a Christian in this spiritual sense to confirm and to testify that you are God's and that you are allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven. That, the Spirit in our hearts is God's stamp of approval. But if it helps, there's almost like two sides to this.
There's one outside us and there's one inside us. There's one objective and there's another subjective. He is first a seal that God sees. If you come to Christ as your Savior, God stamps you and there's a permanent mark that he will always see that you are a forgiven child of God. And that's true in God's eyes, whether you feel it or not. Praise God. But he also works inside us, assuring us. He witnesses to us and helps us to have confidence that we are loved by God. And he helps you find this is your true identity, your true source of worth as a child of God. So that word hope in Romans 5, it really means confidence. Not just wishful thinking, but a sure trust. We know. A Christian should be able to say, I know God loves me. And the Spirit witnesses to our hearts. As it says in Romans 15, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This stamp is the assurance of our future glory. Romans 8 links this with the sealing of the Spirit with the resurrection of our bodies. He'll give you that hope and confidence that even when you die, you shall live. So if you like, he's this stamp of approval. And then the third major thing, we'll picture a hot shower. Maybe you've been working hard and you're covered with filth, a bit like the garden yesterday. And then you step into that warm cleansing shower and you feel it's all just washed away and you step out refreshed. The Holy Spirit comes to cleanse us from our sin. Even to wash our hearts, our thoughts and feelings within. That's what Jesus said about him in John 7. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke about the Spirit. So he's like water to cleanse us, changing us, helping us overcome sin and be free. And in that verse, Jesus speaks of an abundant measure of this. Setting us free from sinful habits. Giving us new thoughts. Again, Ezekiel speaks of it that way. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. The big message we need to convey to people today is your heart is broken. It's not functioning correctly. So you're not going to know who you are and you're not going to be happy. What you need is the Holy Spirit coming and cleansing your heart, giving you this new identity as a child of God. He can take all your filthy, horrible thoughts, the blasphemies, the lusts, the hatreds that run through your mind, the ones that you're horrified by, and he can wash them clean. That inner corruption, he can daily cleanse and renew you, taking every thought captive. He will sanctify you with his holy presence and fill you with joy. Because as he points us to Jesus, we are assured, we are children of God. So all of this wonderful good news about the Spirit comes to a point with a question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received him? And if your heart is broken, only Jesus can give you this gift. Perhaps, for many years, you might even have had the wrong idea about what it means to be a Christian. You might have been seeking to live a good life and obey God. And I've never really heard before that being a Christian is about being given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't worry. I don't mean this in the sense of unusual miracles or signs and wonders. But I do mean being a Christian, a real Christian, is about this very real change of heart. Of this gift of the Holy Spirit coming into you and making you new. And giving you new hope, a new love, a new joy, a new holiness. His great work. Being a Christian is much more than coming to church or practicing the Christian way of life. It is much more than studying the scriptures and keeping God's commands. It's about much more than being a Christian outwardly. It is about the heart transformed
in love by this gift of the Spirit. It's a very interesting incident in the book of Acts in chapter 19. Paul and a few other missionaries come to Ephesus and they meet there some faithful, godly people who'd been following John the Baptist. And I guess you could kind of say they were like Old Testament believers. And he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they reply, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." They've not heard that full message that now that Jesus has died and is risen, there is this greater gift of the Spirit's presence and is this renewing work. They were good people seeking God, but hadn't come for this great gift of a new heart. Now, could that be you? Maybe you've just not realized there's this heart-renewing work of the Spirit. So have you come to Christ? And will you put your trust in him to be your Lord and Savior? And will you ask for this renewing power of the Spirit? Being a Christian is so much more than outward religion. It is the gift of the Spirit, revealing Christ to you, giving you hope, and cleansing you. Have you received the Spirit? Come to the Lord Jesus and ask for this precious gift. Renew me, Lord. Make me new. Believe that Jesus is the answer, the one anointed with this power. So come to him, seek him, and he will freely give you the Spirit. If you have a broken heart, this is the one who can heal you. Let me finish with Paul's prayer for just this renewing work from Ephesians 3. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth that sets us free, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that he freely gives the Holy Spirit to make us new. We thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of the Spirit, that he will renew the earth, and that we can even be part of that saving grace here today. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come to our hearts, that you would cleanse and renew us, that you would reveal to every heart here the great love of God in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would put into every heart your gift of hope and your cleansing power against sin. And every day, Lord, we pray that you would fill us, renew in us the fullness of God, that we would know and that we would live as God's children. We pray this for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.